You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. Transmission
Roundhouse. My name is Scully. I'm a producer and a presenter from South London, but I've lived all over the UK. And I've come here to talk to you today about how cartoons were important in my emotional development. So, in my line of work, I work within the music industry, primarily at least, and I do a lot of work producing, so making TV, making radio, and presenting. So a lot of YouTube stuff, sometimes TV, and a lot of radio. And that can be stressful. And I feel like as a young black male, you don't necessarily learn exactly how to process who you are, why you are, and how you are without, you know, kind of going through certain things and walking through certain moments with certain people. I didn't always have some of the best role models in life. Like, some older cousins were just not the best role models. I don't necessarily always get along with my father. And it's great that I've got a mum who loves me and would do anything for me, but it's not everything you can learn through your mum, right? So I would say I was a bit of a smart kid. That was fine. I did well in school growing up. I did well in secondary school. Actually, my mum moved down to Southampton and I got sent to school there for secondary school. So that was cool. But you're very, like, it's very different from Croydon, right? So I'm from South London. And in South London, as a young black male, you're basically part of the majority. And then you're moving to a coastal city where you're very quickly part of the minority. And you're different in so many ways, like, in so many ways. One thing I found solace in, one thing I definitely connected with my family unit, was with cartoons. So my older cousins used to love anime. They put me onto Dragon Ball Z, and through there I discovered Toonami. Obviously, I was into Cartoon Network. And even when I was the babysitter, my babysitter wasn't great. My mum used to say she would come home, and maybe I hadn't eaten, but it was calm because I was just in front of the TV soaking everything in. I remember I used to love X-Men. That theme tune was insane. Yeah, I grew on that stuff. Fox Kids, and then it became Jetix. And I kind of thought it was a phase. I thought, you know, maybe this is something I'll just enjoy, but you always think you're going to grow out of cartoons. And then I realised that cartoons weren't just placating me, like, they weren't just keeping me happy. I was actually learning a lot through cartoons. So I learned a lot of lessons through what I was watching. I learned how to, for example, not get angry when I watched things like Dexter's Laboratory. Like, Dexter was an angry you, right? He was very smart. And he was constantly annoyed by his sister Dee Dee. I had an older cousin called Susan. She would get me so annoyed every single time. And when he would turn the other cheek, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of how you can handle that. Not everything needs an immediate reaction. I even learned how to take revenge from him. Like, when he was beefing Mandark and that, and he would take a step back and be like, cool, this is how I'm going to handle this. I was like, cool. It's not everything needs immediate reaction. Sometimes take a step back and think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to step forward or kind of replace what has been taken from me, right? And, like, that's when I started to clock, like, right, I'm learning things through this. Like, when you go back to X-Men, when you look at X-Men, X-Men is a story that is essentially about outcasts. It's about people who are different and how they're not accepted in modern society, in current society. There's so much everyone can learn about that, regardless of whether it's through race, class, sexuality. Like, everyone is different somehow. But when you take this story and apply the metaphors and the similes it's given you, you can be like, right, like, Maybe what's different is my strength. Maybe I can use that to bring myself forward. That's how I got into writing, I guess. Not every black youth knows how to write an amazing article. Like, not everybody knows how to use and expand their vocabulary so they can comment on what we think is important and critique it to the extent that it becomes high art. Nobody's looking at rap like that, particularly. Not when I was growing up, anyway. Nobody's looking at R&B like that. Nobody's really taking it for the serious art form it is. Why don't I take what I can learn from those people and apply it to the stuff that I think is important? Which, in the end, talking of writing, ended up extended to cartoons. But that was a lesson I learned. Like, being different helps you. Talking about writing, one of the best articles I ever wrote in terms of reception was something that kind of went viral. I wrote about the Powerpuff Girls. I learned so much from the Powerpuff Girls. When you watch the Powerpuff Girls, you think, yeah, this is just three girls with superpowers, they're quite young, and they're doing silly stuff. Excuse me if you hear me sip or you hear a fizz, I'm just helping the ambience by having a little drink as I go. The Powerpuff Girls were apparatus of the state. They were basically glorified policemen. They did everything the mayor said. Like, the mayor was like, yo, I'm going to call you on this hotline and you're going to solve this for me. Look at the Powerpuff's arch nemesis. Not all of them were bad people, you know. You know, there was that Hobo Johnson, or... No, that's actually a rapper. I can't remember his name, but there was that big pink teddy bear thing that lived out in the woods and played the banjo. What was his crime? He didn't do anything. He was just a youth that refused to subscribe to mainstream society and lived in his own little hut in the woods, and the Powerpuff Girls would just go out there and beat him up. For what reason? Like, what, because man has a different way of living? Like, that's worth beating him up for? Let him just do his thing. Look at Mojo Jojo. Mojo Jojo was a pet who forcibly got put into having a stream of consciousness, to being self-aware, to being a sentient being, and then ditched when Professor X decided he'd have actual children with the Powerpuff Girls. And what did he do? He threw Mojo Jojo away and got mad at him for being sentient enough to be like, wait, you're treating me badly. And how did the Powerpuff Girls react to that? They just beat him up all the time. Of course he was angry. They should have rehabilitated him. Like, brother, take him to the wild, take away his brains, give him friends, do something. Like, the Don is out there as the only super smart monkey in the world. He feels alone. And what do? You break into prison and beat him up. Look at the Gangrene Gang. The Gangrene Gang were just youths who got polluted, yeah, by the city's pollution. Toxic waste by the city. And then they loitered with intent. They didn't even have any real crimes. They just loitered. Like, they was just out here. And what does the Powerpuff Girls do? They beat him up. There's so much within cartoons that I think we disrespect. Maybe because of the connotations that the word cartoon has. When we think of cartoons, we think of, like, you know, Tom and Jerry, Scooby-Doo, all of this stuff. Scooby-Doo, by the way, is another big allegory, but I'm not going to get into that. But there's so many cartoons that we think of, like, childlike, just for fun. And yes, some of them are. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying all cartoons are built for all ages. No, not at all. But there is, like, we need to kind of take away from that negative connotation the word has. Recently, I just watched the season finale, the final actual episode of all time, of BoJack Horseman. BoJack Horseman is amazing. It's amazing. It's something that everyone can watch, and each character in that goes through all of their different difficulties and moments in life. And you can see a reflection of yourself in almost every character that they bring in. And what's important about that is none of the characters are good people. Like, I don't know if I can swear, this might get beeped out, but they're pieces of shit. Like, every single one of them are pieces of shit. You're watching being, you're not a good person. And it's so important to see yourself in people who you don't think are good people, because a big trap that human beings get into is, because we're character one, right? We're the main character in our life story. We place ourselves as the protagonist every time. We think we're the hero. We think we're the one. We're hot shit. Like, yeah, like, this is my story. I'm going out to prove this. We're not always, one, the protagonist. We're not always character one. Like, in anyone else's life who you're in, you're at the very best character two. At the very best, and that's probably your life partner. Like, for everyone else, you're like maybe character six, you know what I'm saying? And from then on, it goes lower down. And that's okay. And in some people's story, you're going to be the villain. Like, you're going to be the bad person. No matter how good you think you are as a person, no matter how well you try and live your life, you can't be good to everyone and everything. Like, good and bad are arbitrary terms. You need to accept that sometimes you're going to be a piece of shit. And as long as you acknowledge that and try and be better, you will go further within your life. BoJack really reflected that for me. And I'm not going to spoil it for anyone listening, but the finale goes so well because it shows that in life, not every ending is a happy ending or a bad ending. It can be neither. Things don't have to bang out. Things can just end. Like, they just end. And you're like, whoa, that chapter of my life, that thing, whatever that was, it's just over. Like, there's no big conclusion, big epiphany, something huge takeaway. It's just like, this is done. Transmission
roundup. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.